Lord, even in the book of Luke chapter 24, the last verse, it tells us that the people came early in the morning to hear the word of God. I pray that our hearts will always, Lord, in the morning want to hear your word. So speak to us as we memorize the verse about temptation, as we then learn today how to overcome temptation. We pray, Lord, we'll take this teaching seriously. Because, Lord, we face it every day. We face it all the time. It's a day-by-day fight, Lord, that the enemy wants to stumble us, destroy us, take us away from what is right and good. But Lord, you want us to also understand you have given us your word to teach us. So Lord, help us to have a humble heart. And as the teachers upstairs teach the children, they too, Lord, will hide the word of God in their hearts. So speak to us, our Lord, in this lesson. I pray you hide me behind your cross, and that only the Holy Spirit will teach in a powerful way that will change our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay, anyone want to try 1 Corinthians 10:13? Okay, why don't we just read together? Okay, those who memorize, just try to memorize. Look ahead, try to memorize. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Memorize this verse, okay? In the time of your deepest temptation, okay? Temptation can be to sin or going through a trial. Temptation can be to sin or temptation to go through a trial. This verse is applicable in both senses. In the context, it refers to sin. In the context, it refers to sin, okay? If you read 1 Corinthians 10, I'm talking about let us not sin, be careful, okay? But it can be applied when you're going through the trial. God will not allow you to be tested more than you can take. Okay? Just like for Premier 6, the PSL will be tested on what you have been taught. Okay? Singapore a bit funny, they want to test Sec 1, Sec 2, Sec 3 work. But usually, but even for that, they will prepare you. They go for preparation. Okay? Alright, today we're going to be looking at overcoming temptation. Okay? I hope you have the notes. I'll just take one to make sure I'm in line. I'm trying to make it a little bit, I won't go through too much, but I'll go through a little bit of depth so that we can understand. All of us have probably heard this before, but I'd like us to take it seriously because all of us face temptation to sin every day. And sometimes we fall into sin without even knowing that we have sinned. Okay? But let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, okay, 14 and 15. Before we even know how to overcome sin and temptation, we need to understand how sin works. 知己知彼, 百战百胜, we need to know how sin works. That means know yourself, know your enemy, 100 battles, 100 victories. Okay? Who said that? Is it Sun Tzu or... Is it Sun Tzu? I don't know. Just a Chinese proverb, okay? But in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, I want us to, this part of your introduction, I want us to, in the next 5 minutes, I want to explain to you, okay, the process of sin. This happens every day to everyone's lives. Every Christian will go through this. Every non-Christian will go through this. All right, this is what God says, how sin works, okay? So please understand this. Okay, let's read together 14 and 15. Ready? 1, 2, go. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Okay, if you're taking down notes, I will define every word. And then I'll put it together as a process, because God puts it as a process here. Okay? Every man is tempted. The word tempted means... Okay, let me just go to... Okay, lust first. We'll go to lust first. Actually, just go to... Tempted means... Sorry, I just get my thoughts. Let's go through the sentence. Every man is tempted. The word tempted means every man fall into sin. The word tempted means you've fallen into sin. Every man is tempted when he's fallen into sin, okay? When he's drawn away. The word drawn away means to be led. To be led away. To be pulled away. Like, for example, let's say our brother Henry is, Laila, come, pull away. Okay, we're being pulled away. Every man is tempted when he's pulled away by who? His own lust. Lust, the definition of lust is an eager wanting of something that we're not supposed to have. We all have that. An eager wanting something we're not supposed to have. We're not supposed to have either it's wrong, it's sin, or it's not the right time. Example, in immorality, for example, people always want to do it before they get married. That's lust. Okay? An eager wanting of something you're not supposed to have. Okay, that one it will be lust, and that one will be wrong. Okay? Both ways, wanting something you're not supposed to have at that time, wanting something you're not supposed to have, full stop. When mommy says, sorry, no cookie before dinner. But I want. That's lust. That's lust. Okay? And enticed. The word enticed means I'm fully persuaded by reasoning that it's okay. I'm fully persuaded. I'm convinced that it is okay. In order for us to sin, we have to convince ourselves it's okay. That's interesting. And many Christians sometimes go into the rationalization process. I mean, you think and think and think, it's okay. It's all right. What's wrong with that? That's why we always ask the question, what's wrong with that? We need to ask what's right with that. Okay? So I'll just paraphrase. Everyone falls into sin when he's led away of his own lust and gets trapped by entice. Okay? Verse 15. Then lust, when he has conceived, conception begins in the womb. Agree? When a baby is conceived, it's conceived in the womb. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. So after you have been enticed, you will sin. In other words, you are in the position of sin already. It means you're sinning. Okay? Then after that, sin when it is completed, finished. The word finished means completed, comes to its maturity. Every sin that we men ever do, firstly, always begins in private. But when we don't stop it, when it's finished, when the whole process of sin is done, it destroys the entire person. Example, it just came to my mind. When the Maate, I just use that so because it's very relevant for all, the group, put a foothold in Mindanao. Okay? It started already. What's happening now? The process of the rebellion is taking place. Right? So what's the process? By the way, the process of sin, there'll always be casualty one. Sure one. It was hidden, then suddenly it started. Attack here, attack there. Okay? Then let's say if the Philippine army don't fight, you know what's going to happen? The entire Mindanao will become Sharia law. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death to the whole island. That's where the good one have to fight back. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? That's why it's important, just because we have fallen into sin and nothing is happening, please don't take it as everything is okay. No, it's not. Sin has a process, and once it's finished, you will regret for the rest of your life. That's how sin deceives us. Okay? Any questions up to there? Any question? Do you see So I'll draw it for you. Draw it for you for a process. You can write down lust. Okay? The first step to sin is our lusts. We want something we are not supposed to have or it's not time for us to have. All right? And then we get pulled away, you know. let's pretend this is sin, all right? Let's pretend this is sin. All right? My back is the sin. There's a distance between. Then I say, I think I want that back. Lust, eagerly wanting something I'm not supposed to have. I get drawn. And we decide, and then we go, should I not, you know? Lust, I've been drawn closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Okay? And then later on I say, I'll be enticed, means I'm fully persuaded. What's wrong with having a bag? What's wrong with having that bag, right? I'll take lah. enticed, I'm fully persuaded, and I'm tempted. I take it. That's sin. Okay? And then, I cannot let people know I take the bet. So I hide. The process of sin has started in my life. Then Uncle Henry said, hey, Pastor, you steal. Liao, finish. Sin, when it's finished, got caught, bring forth death. I have to resign as pastor because I have stolen. Any question? Any questions? Any questions? Do you understand what's happening? Can you see that? Like, all of us go through that. All of us go through that. All of us, I can dare tell, say that when you wanted to do something, you always question yourself. And you have to persuade yourself before you do it. And God actually says that is the process of sin. You have been, the word entice means to be fully persuaded that it's okay. Okay, is it okay to steal? Some Christians do that. Is it okay to play 4D? But you know, Pastor, if I really get the $5 million in Chinese New Year, $4 million I give to church, build a church. There was one pastor who said, this guy who wanted to do this, and he says, well, Pastor, if I touch this, I'll give. The pastor asked, what do you have now, and how much are you giving? Don't tell God that you're going to give your $4 million if you have $400 you're not willing to give some. Okay, that's what I got convicted. Any question, the process of sin? I want you to remember, Joseph, I want you to remember this process for the rest of your life. Asher, so all the younger people, especially adults, some adults don't even know that when you rationalize, you are actually going down the track of allowing temptation to capture you. And then when you make a decision, once you decide, you sin already. Okay? So lust, drawn away, reasoning, enticed, tempted, sin. And then after sin, there's a process that we are already decided. That's when a person lives in sin. He lives in sin. And by the way, the moment you're tempted and live in sin, that's the time that God stops hearing your prayer. Because God says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not going to hear you. And God doesn't lie. Not because he don't want to hear you. Because he can't. Number one, he has to be faithful to his word. Number two, he said, how can I answer my child's prayer when he's dabbling in sin? He's playing with sin. The thing that I told him not to, he's disobedient. I cannot give in to him. And so you can pray till the cows come home. Every prayer will not be answered. I didn't say it will not be heard. God says he will not hear you. The idea of hear means, doesn't mean that God cannot hear what he's saying. Just like a dad and a mom, when the child is in sin or doing something wrong, mom and dad can still listen. Mother says, no, I'm not going to give in. Because there's something wrong in your life. That's the condition of many Christians today. And I want us to learn how to overcome that. Okay? God actually gives us principles. And we need to teach this to our children. We need to teach this to ourselves. All right? And I'm going to teach you, Bharat Pranay, what if I'm caught in sin? How do I overcome? I'm going to include that here, sir. And so, any questions? Please, sir. This will save you a lot of heartaches. It'll save you a lot of problems. On Friday night, I actually mentioned there was this 14-year-old boy who had immorality with a 13-year-old girl, and the 13-year-old girl is expecting a baby. I don't wish for our church to have to deal with that kind of thing. The youngest one I've dealt with was 13 years old. Not in this church, okay? Not in this church, lest you know. Outside. It can happen. And by the way, this family that I had to deal with, uncles, aunties, come to VBS before. Not in this church, huh? Please don't go and think who is it. Please, I know when I share with you. But these are real things that happen. Why? Process of sin. Okay, process of sin. So, any questions? Okay, what is the definition of sin? Okay, 1 John 3, 4. Okay, it's over there. The Bible says, let's read together, it's right there. Okay, 1, 2, go. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin breaks the law. Transgress has the idea of going past the boundary you're supposed to do. Every sin is a transgression of the law. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. The moment you think of something foolish, that's sin. Okay. The most you think that you want to, I think I want that. That's covetousness. Oh God. Even for when we say something we don't do, that's sin. We have to confess that. Did you know that? All right. So we have to be very aware. The moment we break the law of God, there's no rationalization. There's no rationalization. The moment you break the law, you have to pay for it. Okay? I think I use Singapore's example as one. Let's say I stole from Brian Henry, which I didn't. And Brian Henry said, yeah, since you give it back, I confess to him I stole. Because I stole something from him, he can, don't prosecute me. But I've learned in my experience I just shared before, let's say if the police knows about it, even though he doesn't want to prosecute me, the state has to prosecute me. Because we have broken the law of the state when you steal something from someone. Does that make sense? Well, that was an eye-opener to me. But I don't want to prosecute him. Some of you may know Pastor John Mark, who came and then one of the guys actually stole his wallet. To find it, we actually had to call the police and all that. And we told the police, no. Pastor John Mark said, no. He returned the wallet, don't want to prosecute. Police said, no. Well, you don't want to prosecute, never mind. We have to prosecute him because he broke the laws of the land. So that was an eye-opener for me. That's why I believe that is a clear indication that when you break a law of God, it's not between you and me anymore. No. It's between you, me, and God. Because you broke His law. And it has to be paid for. Jesus paid for every crime, every sin at the cross, and you have to be accountable to Him. Alright? He wants us to deal between us first, and then God will deal between you and God. Alright? That's why David said when he said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. Okay? So, understand that. So, how do we overcome the sin? There's a few. This week, there are two types of sin. One is the sin of commission. That means you do something you're not supposed to do. Next week, we deal with the sin of omission. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't do it. Let's turn to Numbers. I'll just give you something that's very interesting. Numbers 23. We tend to put a lot more emphasis when we do something wrong. Okay, let's read together. 32 and 23. Okay, ready? Let's read. Ready? 1, 2, go. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. We always use this verse, right? When you do something wrong, after a while, God will find you out. Actually, I was reading the context. You know what's this sin? This sin of omission. There are two tribes, Manasseh and, I think it's Manasseh and Ephraim, who didn't want to go over into the promised land. All right? They choose to stay this side. But Moses was very angry. How dare you? All nation of Israel going to fight to gain the promised land? How come you know? But then he said, look, Moses, please understand. Listen to me. Yes. When it's time to go and fight in the promised land, all the men will go. Okay, all the men will go. After we won already, allow us to come back here. And Moses said, okay, well, that's fine, that's a deal, all right? That was before they entered. And then Moses told them, remember your promise. Because if you are supposed to do something and you don't do it, you are sinning against God. That's the sin of omission. Okay? Does that make sense? If you cross-reference to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua reminded these two tribes of their responsibility. In Joshua chapter 1, and verse number 12, sorry, Reubenites, Gadites, okay? Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, and had given you this land. Okay? Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, arm all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given you the brethren. Okay? Does that make sense? When you know what we're supposed to do, and we don't do it, that is sin. And the Bible says, you can hide, but be sure your sin will find you out. One of these days. Okay? So please understand. So next week we'll deal with how to deal with the sin of omission, but today we just do a sin of commission, all right? Overcoming the sin of commission, all right? There's a few verses we need to know. What I'm going to tell you right now is based on life experience, based on what the Bible teach, and it's important for us to see it in the context of our journey as a Christian, okay? All of us will go through this, and I hope you take it seriously, or I hope you'll jot down. I hope you just look, okay, based on this, how is my life going? And how do I overcome the sin of omission? Romans 14:23, the Bible says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin." When you do something that you're unsure of, when you do something, I know for some you say, "No, Pastor, this deals with something that is not relevant." The application is this: when you do something that's not of faith, the word faith has to do with a belief in that thing. When you do something inconsistent with your faith, that is sin. When you do something inconsistent with your faith, that is sin. I think in the general trend, thou shalt not commit adultery, for example, and if you do it, that's sin. Thou shalt not steal, if you do it, that is sin. All right? That's very clear. All right? So how do we overcome that? Let's turn to a few verses. Okay, Asher, can you turn to James 4:7? Right, Henry? Psalm 34:7. Then, yeah. And then, Sister Hannah, if you can turn to James chapter 1, verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 7. Okay? But in James chapter 4, verse 7, the first point is you need to submit or surrender to God first. That's the first point. James chapter 4, verse 7. Asher. Oh, do you have it? James 4 and verse 7, just a few pages. Yeah. Thank you.
Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from
you. Okay, when we submit to the Lord, we are under the protection and the leading of the Lord. And a man who fears the Lord, God will protect. Okay, the first point is you need to submit to God. You cannot fight temptation if you have never surrendered to God. Never. It's just like an army soldier trying to go and fight. But he don't know where his allegiance is. You're going to get shot on both sides. Okay? There was one, I'll give you a very clear example. There was one, I think it was a British soldier who caught a German soldier. And then after they caught already, the British soldier kind of, and the German soldier was at his mercy, and apparently they found out both were Christians. Okay? And so they had spent some time in fellowship, because apparently it was Christmas, if I'm not wrong. That's how the story goes. And the German soldier was still under the captivity of the British soldier. Okay, both, they were prisoner of war. And they were communicating, they were Christians. And after that fellowship, the next day, the British soldier shot the German soldier. Okay? Because his allegiance is to the British army. Okay? There was nothing personal, but he had to do it because of his loyalty. Now some people say, "Wow, you mean why?" No, he's just being loyal. You need to know you need to know where your loyalty lies. You know why you fall into sin? The reason why you fall into sin is because you don't know where your loyalty is. If your loyalty to Christ, you will fight every sin. You will not even play with sin. Okay? Submit yourself therefore to God. Okay, Psalm 34 verse 7. Angel of the Lord and came around about them that fear him. You need to fear God. Okay, if you don't fear God, God cannot deliver you because you're not going to listen to him. Okay? That's why the first principle is submit. Submit means to place yourself under the control of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Number one, surrender to God. Okay? When we do not submit to the Lord or surrender to him at the onset, we are always going to fall. In James chapter 1, verse 8. Hannah? James 1, verse 8. Okay. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1 and verse number 8. Okay. So if you follow the thinking, we need to submit ourselves first to God, and then we can resist the devil, he'll flee from us. And when we submit to God, he's going to protect us. Okay? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you are double-minded in your Christian life, you will always fall into temptations and sin. Or rather, you will always be tempted to sin. Okay? There's one person in the Bible that teach us this principle of submission. Can anyone think of that person? A very clear verse. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. The word purpose has the idea of, I've already decided. I've already decided. Young people, when you grow up, you must purpose in your heart, I'm not going to get involved in rock music. I'm not going to get involved in contemporary Christian music that leads my flesh. I'm not going to get involved in things that are wrong. I'm not going to get involved in, you know, those 13, 14, you, Joseph and Asher, before you go to secondary school, you need to decide, I'm not going to get involved with people who smoke. I'm not saying don't be their friends, but you must be very clear in your heart, your allegiance is to God. For adults, we need to purpose in our heart, we need to decide already now. I'm not going to involve in that. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to... Because Daniel did that. You know why Daniel was so strong? He's already decided. In fact, this was the same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, if you will not bow down to my idol, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Who is that God who's able to deliver you from out of my hand? You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? Daniel chapter 3, King, we're not careful to answer in this matter. In other words, we're not full of concern. We've already decided. God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, King, we are not going to bow down. You know why? They've already surrendered their heart and life to God. Okay? Even if I have to die in obedience, I will not give in. All right? So you must surrender. Then you can win temptation. Christians, we must come to a place. You ever want to overcome sin and temptation? You have to surrender your heart. Because that's where all the issues of life come out. You have to give your heart to God first. That's the very first thing in your Christian life. In fact, when you became a Christian, that's what you did, right? You were very happy. You go to church. But then after that, why did you lose that? Because you lost your heart. Okay, so number one, surrender your heart. Okay, number two, prevent the temptation. I'm telling you how to overcome. Prevent the temptation. There are a few verses we need to go. Shift over this side. If Esther Joy, can you take 2 Timothy 2, verse 22? Lydia, can you take Proverbs 4, 14? And then if Sister Jamie, you can take Mark chapter 14, verse 38. And then if Joanna, you can take 2 Corinthians 2, 11. And then if you can ask Brother Timothy Toriano, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And then Sister Son, you can take Psalm 119, verse 63. Okay, just read loud so everyone can hear. Prevent temptations. There are four things we need to prevent. There are many other things, I'm sure, but the Bible is very clear on this, okay? 2 Timothy 2:11. Firstly, how to prevent a temptation? Flee it. Run away as far as you can from it. Don't put yourself in the position that you will fall into sin. Nowadays, sometimes you cannot run away because it's just glaring. But no, if there are pictures you're not supposed to see, you can always look away. Okay, I think I shared before, when my children were young and all the not so nice billboards and all that kind of thing, I suddenly engaged them in, hey, how was your school? Just basically to shift their eyes away and be communicating. Now that I tell them, maybe the next time, Papa, you're trying to block something, right? No. But, you know, when they're young, you can shield their eyes away from that by engaging them. You don't have to say, don't see. Usually, don't see, they want to see. Forbidden fruit, okay? You talk to them about life, you talk to them about the Bible, until the temptation go past, then you start your conversation. But it's important in parenting, all right? Always remember, you say don't, the child will do more. Always tell them what they need to do that is right, okay? Flee temptation. Proverbs 4:14. Flee temptation. This is a verse Solomon was dealing with sexual temptation here. Enter not in the way of wicked men. If you know there's a group of people that you're always mixing with, that always lead you astray, you know what you need to do? Be willing to cut off communication with them. I'm not saying don't be their friends, okay? Please, you cannot reach them if you're not their friends. But you don't have to participate in their activities. Jesus was among prostitutes. Jesus was among tax collectors. Jesus was among thieves. But you know what? The difference was he influenced them. They didn't let them influence him. Okay, very important. But you know how to prevent the temptation? Get rid of it. Flee it. If your computer is your distraction, put it away. If your handphone is going to be the distraction, put it away. Alright? Brother Johnny, I need to communicate. Then disable every app, alright? Just have the phone function. I don't think now they have the 2G whereby you have the candy bar one. No, they don't have really, right? Okay, then they have to develop one. Let's maybe some Christian whatever. But you need to be we cannot isolate ourselves. But you need to insulate yourself. Flee temptation. Get away as far as you can from temptation. In other words, if you know it's going to tempt you, don't put yourself in the position. All right, number one, flee temptation. Number two, pray. Okay? In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, verse 38. Okay, pray that ye enter not into temptation. In the past, I used to read, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And I thought the verse actually meant, pray to God that you won't enter into temptation. Actually, that's not what the verse says. The verse says, pray. 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 So that you won't enter into temptation. There was one godly man who really helped me to understand this. When you are in communication with God on the telephone, the devil cannot get through. There's no call waiting with God. Amen? That's what it means. And because many Christians, we as Christians need to develop a prayer life. We need to pray. Everywhere you go, you need to pray. The Bible says, Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. How do you acknowledge Him? By praying. Say, Lord, I'm going to do this now. I have one friend, he's a godly man. He says, brother, every time I drive, before I drive, I always just pray. God will keep me safe, reach my destination. Christians, we need to pray. Prayer will block Satan's temptation. It keeps your mind spiritually minded. So if you're being drawn away and you're being having all this reasoning, should I take the bag? Should I not take the bag? It's not, I give the illustration. Start praying. Pray. Pray, okay? So that you will not enter into. Why? The spirit truly is willing, ready. The flesh is weak. And that's why you need to reinforce the spirit. How? By praying. Because true prayer is spiritual work. The flesh don't want to pray. Okay? So you need to pray. The next one, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I understand why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Always constantly be in attitude of prayer. It will guard your heart against temptation. Okay? Next one, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Okay? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Understand the walls of the devil. Understand the walls of the devil. Okay? One of the staff officers in the army is the intelligence. And intelligence basically is to play the enemy, to find out what the enemy can do. Okay? And one of the things that they really they need to understand how the enemy works, etc. One way that the enemy works is intimidation. If you continue in your Christian life like that, your wife's not going to be happy. Your husband's not going to be happy. Your children won't like you anymore. Intimidation. Okay? If you're going to be so on fire for God, you may lose a competition. You may not get the gold medal. You may not get the PhD that you want. You may not get the good job that you want. Okay? He makes you fearful of your future. Or you may... don't be so... You know, sometimes you need some young people go. I mean, they can explore. You know, just don't be so uptight about all this. You know, Satan uses different strategies with different people. He uses fear, intimidation. He uses deception. He uses half truth. Oh, go ahead. You're still attending church. Why? Don't worry about service. At least you're still in church. You're still giving your offering, right? Half truth, half-hearted commitment to God. He uses all these kind of things. And we as a Christian need to be aware that the goal of Satan is to destroy and make you totally ineffective and useless for God. We talked about it last week. And so Satan will use every trick in the book to get you distracted. What are the three main things that Satan uses? Pleasures, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, to the pleasures, cares of this world, and distractions. Okay, many things he uses. Distractions, pleasures, achievements. Discouragement. Satan uses all that. Okay? Alright. Does that mean I don't get discouraged? Yes, you do. But you know, what would you do? I always use this. What do you do when you fall in your longkang? What do you do after you fall into the drain? Get out! You may get scratches, but you know, get out. Okay? Alright? So, understand the walls of the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay? Be careful of who you mix with, your friends. Your friends, there are two things. I didn't really understood. I mentioned many years ago. There are two things that will change your character over time. The books you read and the friends you mix with. All this is so true. Over the years as a pastor, I've seen in your own Christian life. Don't be deceived. The person that you are closest with, if you're not seeking to bring that person to Jesus Christ, that person will pull you away from Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't bluff yourself. That's what Paul is saying. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. If you are not praying, if you have never surrendered, you will fall down a track that is so dangerous. It's frightening. I've had people, we know of people who in FBI, that their life is a wreck. Why? Because they have never committed themselves to God. They continue in their sin. They gave in. Okay? So please, 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 be careful of who you mix with. Brother Johnny, what that means, I look at... No, I'm not saying scrutinize. Are you a Christian? No, I'm not saying... No, you have no control over their lives. But what you can do is that God, give me wisdom. Help me to be the friend that I need. That I need to be loyal to you. And by the way, in friendship, there's one thing I want to deal with. You don't need friends to be a friend. Think about that. You don't need friends to be a friend. In other words, everywhere you go, you're a friend to people. And the Lord Jesus was like that. He was a friend to all. He was a friend of sinners. But some people don't like him. But everywhere he went, he was a friend of people. See, God wants us to be the friend. Some people say, oh yeah, if I do that to my friend, he's not going to talk to me anymore. What's that? A business transaction. Fish love. I need something to reinforce that. I'm not saying you don't need encouragement as human beings, but I'm saying God wants us to be changed into His likeness. Okay? So be careful of your friends, who you mix with, especially if your friend is a non-Christian. And you are not actively praying, fasting if you have to bring that friend to Jesus Christ. And you're just allowing things to run. One thing I've learned, if you're just waiting for a thing to happen, you know what will happen? It will definitely bring you away from God. So many, I can give you illustration after illustration after illustration. You know what? That's a strategy of Satan. Procrastinate. Don't do anything. You know what? No, Satan always says tomorrow. God always says today. Alright? So if there's certain things you need to do and deal with, you've got to deal with now. Because I can tell you, if you don't, your friends are going to pull you away from God. Okay? And sometimes even Christian friends. We have to be very careful. If your Christian friends that you're mixing with are not bringing you to God, you have a big problem. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 63. Is someone supposed to read that? It's our song, right? Yeah. Okay? So that's why the example that the psalmist gave, I'm a companion of them that fear you. Your best friends ought to be Christians. Your best friend ought to be godly, God-fearing, God-serving, faithful to the local church friends. Why do I say that? I'm a companion of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts, not of them that reject thy precepts. This cuts across all our friendships. If you ever want to overcome temptation, you must be careful of who you mix with, because your friend's going to do things that you don't care for Alright? Okay, so let's keep moving. Our next one, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. I just read because of timer. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Learn to say no to sin. Learn to say no to the extra chocolate sundae. If you know you're not supposed to have it because you have a cough. Children say, oh, 我要吃. You're coughing, right? No. No, my cough okay already. Learn to say no to sin, okay? Sometimes it's funny. But you know what? We need to learn to say no to sin. We just need to learn to say no. No. Okay, ready? Okay, I'm going to tempt you, okay? Okay, let's see. What should you say? You must be aggressive, you know? When you're fighting an enemy, you don't say, I don't want to. Right? By the way, sin is an aggressive enemy. You need to say, no! Okay, you need to be firm. Say, no, I'm walking out. Okay? Don't say, no. No. No means no. Go. Alright? Learn to say no to sin. Exodus 23 verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Okay, next one. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a big one. I want us to really understand this. The next point is fight it in your mind. That's where the battlefield is for every Christian. To overcome temptation, you must have a disciplined mind. You must have a disciplined mind as a Christian. Okay, Paul actually gives us 2 Corinthians 10:5. Let's read it together, all right, for those who are already there. Ready? 2 Corinthians 10:5. 1, 2, go. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, let me just go through this verse. Casting down imagination. Cast down has the idea of what? I'm taking this thing. You know what's casting down? That's why we need to cast down. You're not going to play with it. You're not going to dilly-dally with it. You're going to cast down. But the word casting down literally means to throw it down, destroy it. Casting down imagination. The word imagination means your reasoning process. The way you think. Okay? In reasoning and thought. And every high thing. The word high thing means an idol. Something that is fighting against what you know is right. How many of you have that? That you know is right, but then you use a B-U-T. But. Casting down your reasoning process and every idol. When you think in a way inconsistent with the Bible, that's an idol. It's a high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You have a choice in your mind. Obey God or obey that idol. That's why, you know, in the Old Testament when Josiah and King Asa, when they get rid of the idols, they don't just say, hey, take it and then put it in the garbage can. No, they took the hammers and they broke down, they push everything down, they just destroy it, and to the point they burn everything. They burn everything out. Why? The idol is not going to remain. Get rid of it. That exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Fight it in your mind. All of us go through this. That's why Paul put it in there. Alright? And then lure it towards bringing it to captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I have a choice. My reasoning says I want to do this. But then it becomes an idol because it is exalting itself. God is here. He's trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. So what I'm doing, I have to throw this down and then to bring this to say that I'm going to let it obey Christ. You know what's the example that Jesus gave us? And you know why? I was thinking too, why the obedience of Christ? Basically the verse says how Christ obeyed. How Christ obeyed. In Matthew chapter 4, there are three principles. Let's turn there. In the obedience of Christ against temptation. Okay? Against temptation. Matthew chapter 4, just quickly go through that. Please take note of this. Matthew 4. Matthew 4 is the temptation of Christ. There are three principles to guard your mind, to fight in your mind. Number one, you must be filled with the Spirit. In verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted with the devil. You will not overcome temptation and sin if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because Satan is a million times stronger than you, a million times wiser than you, and a million times more subtle than you, and he has a malicious intent to destroy. And so, you know, when a person has a desire to do things, he's not going to stop at nothing. The only thing that you can fight back is when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that he cannot fight back. And this is very serious matters. Okay? The first point, be filled with the Spirit. Number two, look at Jesus' example. Memorize the word. Every time, well, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What did Jesus say? It is written. Where is it written? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Thou, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to memorize the word. You need to memorize the word. You need to memorize the word. Number three, you need to use the word. If you're tempted to steal, immediately the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with God, will say, thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to do that. When I was in Brunei one time, I think I shared this before, I shared it again. It's so powerful for me. Part of the rifle was missing. You know, sometimes when we go Brunei for training, we're supposed to put our muzzle in the camp, and then we use a blank attachment, which is a replacement. Any part of the rifle is a control item in the SAF. If you lose any part of the rifle, it's a very serious offense. After 3 days of training, we came back. My muzzle was missing. Wow, panic. It's my senior term. I'm going to pass out already. Panic. You know what happened? At the same time, I was on Foxwell Company, Delta Company was out on their training. And when they're out of their training, they will leave their muzzles in the bunk. Okay, this happened to me when I was 19 years old in the army. I was tempted to go and steal. I struggled and said, Lord, you know, this is so hard. I was on my way out of the barracks. I was walking towards the company line. Psalm 34:7, trust in the Lord and do good. I said, no, I cannot. I just walked back. I said, God, I'm going to surrender this to you. Really, at that time, God really took control. I really could not do it. But the verse came, trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 34:7. I said, God, I surrender this to you. So that night, I gave my rifle with a blank attachment to my Encik. Those who know Encik Jolly Foo, he looks like Mickey Mouse. And, you know, it's much straight one. He said, where's your muzzle? J.I. Either someone took it or lost it. Said, you will be put on charge. You know, that kind of Mickey Mouse talk. So after that, well, I tell you, for the next few days in our preparation to go back to Singapore, it's like my morale was like all the way down. My buddy, who happened to be the sword of honor later on, you know, once we go back, I mean, those who are going to be put on charge, straight away, in 1-2 hours, you have to put on your number 4 and go down and take your orders and whatever. Either you go to detention barracks or whatever because of some things you've done. My number 4 was ready. My uniform was ready to be charged. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Cadet so-and-so, come down. And after you come down, I'll get charged ready. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Then my buddy told me, hey, Butts, he called me Butts at the time. Butts, I don't think you'll be charged. I told God that, God, if you are going to deliver me from this, I will honor you by giving a testimony the first Sunday I go back to church. And that Sunday, I asked Pastor, can I give a testimony of how God protected me? Trust in the Lord and do good. Obey. Fight it in your mind. When you honor God, God will honor you. Oh, this is such a blessing. I will never forget that. I probably want to ask the Lord, what happened to the muzzle when I went to heaven? But anyway, use the word of God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Memorize the word. That's why knowing the word is so important. And then point number 5, decide to do right. Or obey the right. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6 is a very important passage because against all odds, Matthew chapter 6 was written to a very, very, very poor Jewish community. Remember? In Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't worry about, remember he's talking about, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about where you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and all that. You know, Jesus was telling these absolutely poor people who don't even have money to buy food, say, don't worry about it. Do what is right first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added unto you. Decide to do right. Go to Deuteronomy 6:18. I believe it's in the verse behind. I just turn behind. I'd like you to memorize that. The principle is to obey the right, okay? Let's read together Deuteronomy 6:18, the verse behind. Ready? 1, 2, go. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And that thou should do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, not in your reasoning. Okay? Decide to do the right thing. Then after you have done the right thing, you have overcome the victory, or rather you've overcome the temptation, Romans 7 verse 24-25, thank God for the victory. The Bible says there, I thank God through Jesus Christ, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. Okay? After you thank God for the victory, last point, keep vigilant for the next temptation. Because He's going to come back. Alright? Two verses. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may intimidate. Seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Apparently, I think you've learned too, a lion who roars is not hungry. He's just intimidating. Because when a lion wants to get you, he's not going to make noise that he's there. And so when a lion roars, it's going to intimidate, you're going to lose your friend. You're going to lose your career. If you serve Jesus Christ on fire for God, you're going to lose your friend. You're going to lose your enjoyment of life. You're going to lose all the things of this life, you know, guys. You know, does it sound like a lion? No? Don't know. Lions intimidate. But when we are fearful, and when we don't walk with God, He's going to eat us up, okay? After Jesus finishes temptations, or rather the devil is finished with Jesus, Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from Jesus for a season. Satan will always come back with the next one. That's why I was telling one of my sons, you know, we go through, imagine you're in Mindanao now, as a soldier, supporting Duterte. Maybe Brother Aldrin joined the army because he must stamp out this ISIS. And so, everywhere he go, sniper. Everywhere he go, he'll be doing this. You know, when you're in enemy territory, you cannot let your guard down. The moment you let your guard down, Satan comes in very quickly. You must be always vigilant. Be sober. When Peter gives the counsel, he knew firsthand. He fell. You know, in Mark 14:38, it's now, pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. One godly man made a commentary. He says, Peter definitely wanted to honor God, but you know, he cannot even keep his eyes open. He couldn't control himself. He had to fall asleep. He yielded to the flesh. You want to overcome temptation? Next week I'll deal with how do I recover after I've fallen into temptation. And next week I'll also talk about sin or omission. Any questions? Just 7 things need to be memorized, need to be practiced in your life if you ever want to overcome temptation. Especially the point, fighting it in your mind. You know, you can't fight the devil with your reasons, but you can fight the devil with the Word of God. That's why you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. You need to be reading. You need to be absorbing. You need to be memorizing. You need to be always when an opportunity to learn the Word. You know, sometimes I wish more people can come out and preach. We will do that. You know, I'd rather be sitting there sometimes just to listen, because I need feeding too. But I know it's so important for you to understand these principles. Any questions? Next week, we'll deal with recovery after temptation. I'll give you the verses first, if you like. All right? Proverbs 28, verse 13, 1 John 1, 9, Proverbs 16, verse 6. These are the 3 key verses of recovery. We'll talk about it. We'll expound next week a little bit more. But your memory verse will be Deuteronomy 6:18. Okay? The way not to do wrong is to be doing right. When you're actively doing right, you've got no time to do wrong. When you're actively doing the right thing, you've got no time to do wrong. That's why sometimes people have said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. No, when you're not serving the Lord, after a while, you'll be serving yourself. You'll be more concerned for yourself. Think about that for a while. Practice it. Think through. Think through the history. Those of you who are older in the faith, if you're not serving the Lord, you'll be serving yourself once that happens. It's always about us after a while. You know, this whole... how many of you read what Sister Isa posted about the 13-year-old teenage girl? I think, how she had to fight just to go to prayer meeting, fight just to go to church. And she would be beaten up. We have privilege and freedom in Singapore, and we don't take advantage of that. So I'm not saying that to guilt trip us, but if the Lord guilt trip you, then go ahead. But we have so much liberties. Let's be serious about our faith, all right? Any questions? No. Please message me, SMS me. These are serious matters. I know some of you are looking down. I hope God is convicting your heart about things. Write down. If next week you deal with, Pastor Johnny, I've already fallen for temptation. What do I do? Memorize, or rather, go through and meditate upon the scriptures I've given to you. Next week, we'll go through them and ask God, Lord, set me free from my temptation. But the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 31, if ye will continue my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God wants to set you free from your sin, but you have to be willing to continue in his word. You have to be willing to follow him. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you humbly, myself too. Father, we are all weak people in our own strength. We will never be able to stand against the devil and his friends, the demons. But God, help us to be humble to know that you are still wanting us to be faithful to you. Help us to remember these 7 points, Lord, to surrender to you. To prevent the temptation, to fight it in our mind, and Lord, of course, all the others as well. Lord, so often we forget to apply in its entirety the counsel of God from your word. And I pray that this practical Christian life, that we can see it coming, that we will be wise to apply the word of God as a whole package to overcome the sin. Lord, thy word is a lamp to our feet. It teaches us what to do. I'm praying, Father, that these strategies will be used, that it will be part and parcel of our active Christian life to fight sin, to overcome self, and to glorify our Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you as we remember Father's Day, I pray. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, our Heavenly Father, who has been such a wonderful Father to us. Father, you gave us your Son as the greatest demonstration of your love. There's nothing, Lord, more precious than to know that you gave your best for us. Heavenly Father, you gave so much grace to every one of us on a daily basis, grace that we don't deserve. Heavenly Father, you feed us when we don't have. You hold our hands when we fall as little children. You pity us, Lord, when we go through the hard times. And Lord, sometimes you rebuke us because you love us. You don't want us to go down the wrong path. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love to us. I suppose, Lord, we just want to say that we love you. We appreciate, Father, your care about us. But we know, Lord, the only way we can show our love to you is to obey your word, according to John chapter 14, verse 15. The only way we can honor you as our Heavenly Father is to give you glory and honor that you deserve. Is to serve you with our life and our hearts. Is to give you everything that we ever have. That Father, you taught us, Lord, through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they who have given all for you, Lord, you will reward in the end. So Lord, thank you. Bless the service to follow later. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.